So we know of a missionary that goes to Mexico, and that's pretty much where God has called him to be. And he told us, what we're talking about here is head faith versus heart faith. A lot of disease is surging up right now, a lot, alarmingly so. People are finding struggles mentally, emotionally, spiritually, soulishly. And Pastor and I were kind of caught off guard a little bit because it's like, wait a minute. We're teaching healing, we're teaching the truth, and this should not be happening. And then God began to show us people that there is, and I've seen this across the board, because we pray for people, a lot of people outside of Swords. We get calls from people, listen, you know, I used to go to Swords, and I have this person, they really need your help, whatever. And we end up ministering to a lot of people. So we get a good picture of what's going on. And really what's going on is that people are misunderstanding what faith in your head is versus the faith that should be in our hearts. The faith that should be in our hearts is a complete game changer for you. Because God dwells in our heart. God can only respond to whatever is in your heart. When God looks at you, he sees your heart. He doesn't see your mind. And somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank God he doesn't see our mind. Amen. Praise God. But he sees our heart. And that's what's important to him. And we don't want you to be under that misapprehension that, oh, I'm in faith. I'm in faith. I know I'm in faith. We've seen people die because they thought they were in faith. This is very important. But also, people, forget about dying is literally a transition.
Amen.
You get promoted out of this little miserable place called Earth that's highly imperfect and getting more and more imperfect by the day. You know, we ought never to be afraid of our transition. You're going to a higher plane, a higher ground, something that's above and beyond what you could ever hope or dream. And, you know, but we are finding that when we go to pray for some people, there's no faith. There's no connection whatsoever. So God has inspired us. Man, we've talked about this in great length. Where's the misfire? What's happening? Because we know the word. We know God. We know how he moves. We've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miracles. Miracles, people. So we know that God works, and we know that he's real. So we're going to open up your spiritual eyes so you can see him the way we do. And then you will be so natural in both realms. Natural. Oh my gosh, talk about natural. I have mastered that to a great degree. I've got a long way to go. We will be learning for all eternity in heaven. But I've mastered the ability to be connected to God no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing. I could be in the middle of strife, and I can connect to God, and he'll receive me and correct me, and I can make the changes and so on. It doesn't matter. God wants you to go in and out of the spirit realm very naturally now. He wants you to know him now. Because you know what, people? If you cannot be natural with God, if you cannot transition, like have a moment of quietness where God can speak to you, how do you even know you're born again? He became your daddy, your father. Oh my gosh, Brian and Bill, they're like this. And you know what? Brian doesn't have to work up, oh my God, will my dad talk to me? Will my dad receive me? No, he pounces on this guy. He's right there. And that's how God wants you to be with him. Very naturally, we are his children. He is our father.
Amen.
Because if you cannot believe that, you know what you are? You're religious. You are a religious Christian. I know. I was a Catholic. I know. I became a nun. And I know how it works, people. Religion kills the spirit. Religion is man-made. The word of God is alive and powerful.
Amen.
Amen? So if you don't believe that I can go between the two realms naturally, that God is right there with me, that God's not going to judge me. A lot of you stay away from God because you're so afraid of judgment. You don't understand. The wrath of God fell on Jesus on your behalf. God is not angry with you anymore. He is not walking away from you anymore. You are forgiven. And it's time that we act that way. Amen?
Amen.
I tell God all the time, you're stuck with me. You saved me. You died for me. So here I am in my misery and my glory. Here I am. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So this missionary to Mexico told us of a story that happened in one of his trips. And let me go from here. So the eagle and the Christian. So he told us the story of a farmer, because they were passing out tracts and taking food to the outskirts of Mexico, wherever he was, I don't remember. But it was in Mexico. And he went up to this farmer, and they started talking, and of course he fellowshipped with him and tried to give him the gospel and so on. And his name is Pete Michelle, the missionary. He looked up, and he looked at the tree, and he goes, "You have an eagle on the ground next to that tree." And he noticed that the eagle was walking around the tree. An eagle, you know, eagles soar. Eagles fly very high. Eagles are very powerful. And so he looked at the farmer and he said, "Did you know you have an eagle?" He goes, "Yes." He goes, "I am so sad about what happened." And Pete Michelle asked him, "What happened?" And he goes, "Well," he goes, "that eagle used to fly over our farm all the time. And it was so beautiful, and it was soaring so high." He said that I loved it. I loved this animal. It was this bird. It flew so beautifully. He said, "So I ended up capturing the eagle." He said, "And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm just going to keep him here for a little while. Tied him with a rope to a tree. And that eagle would walk around and around and around the tree. They fed him, they gave him water and so on, but he was there for several days." And then the farmer said, "And then I started feeling guilty because this poor animal belongs up there. God made him to fly, so I'm going to cut him loose and let the eagle go." So he said, "I did cut the rope, and the minute I cut the rope, the eagle shot out like a bullet. It took off." He said, "And I was in awe, and it was so beautiful, and I felt, you know, so bad that I had tied this poor thing." Well, he said he felt very relieved. The eagle's gone. He's flying. He's being himself. He is where he should be. And then he said, "I was mortified because the next day, the eagle was back by the tree, walking around and around and around the tree." And he said, "And now we can't make him fly." He said, "I broke his spirit. I broke that eagle's spirit. And instead of soaring and flying and doing his thing, he now, all he knows is to go around and around the tree." That is how most Christians live. God has made us eagles to soar. He compares us to the eagle. And the world and our own choices have tied us to a tree. We are not being who we're supposed to be. And we're using every day, every time we go around that tree, is another day, another day, another day. Our spirits have been broken because we are called a mighty army. We are called the mouth and the hands of God, the feet of God on the earth. We are called to walk in power. We are called to live in miracles very naturally. Our spirit has been broken like that eagle. And religion has absolutely affected our new birth, our new creation. We believe. If I were to ask any of you, do you believe in God? Oh, yes, of course I do. I believe God created everything. Again, our lives are not reflecting that. We need to get to the place where our lives reflect that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Our aim through this teaching is to teach you how to have real faith, which is mountain-moving faith. I don't know if you know that, but, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, which is mountain-moving faith, and then how to have faith in your faith. You have faith in my faith. You have faith in pastor's faith. And you may even have faith in with a few of you here. But we want you to have faith in your faith. Where you say, I'm going to speak, or I'm going to talk, or I'm going to pray, and things are going to happen.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? We're supposed to be moving mountains.
Amen.
It started off, forget about going to Big Bear and trying to move that mountain. Forget about that. Why don't we start with the little mountains in our lives? This is wrong. It does not belong to me. This is not of God. I command you to leave my life in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? Praise God. Oh. This is the challenge when Jesus threw down the gauntlet and he posed a challenge to us that is very critical, people. You're not, everything about God is faith, everything. How we got born again, how we're going to get raptured, how we're going to spend an eternity with God, all of that requires real faith. Let me ask you something. Let's say this side of the room does not believe in the rapture. Are they going to go? They're not. They're not. And there are people still allowing their mind, their intelligence, to tell them that it's not going to happen, that's a fairy tale, Noah's Ark was nothing, that never happened, blah, blah, blah. Yet the scientific community is confirming almost every prophecy or every event that happened in the Bible. Through science. Right, Gil? Through science, people, they're proving. Oh my gosh, I started, in fact, I saved it for you. I have like 10 links that I want to share with you, but they are finding out that prayer changes the cell structure. It affects your cells. Faith can affect your cells. We can reverse cancer, aging, decaying in our bodies. Oh my gosh. It's a major feat to get dressed. It's a major feat to wear these little tiny shoes. I'm serious. What happened to me? I got rusty during the pandemic. So I'm fighting the good fight. Amen. And I'm praying. I'm praying for myself. But look at what Jesus said. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You got to ask yourself, people, is God going to find faith in me? Or am I just following the crowd as much as I want here and there, and then I pull back and do my thing, and then just, you know, you have to ask yourself, do I believe in God? Do I believe in the rapture? Do I believe in heaven? Start questioning yourself. And we are here to answer and to show you through Scripture if you do have questions. There should not be any doubt in our minds, people. I am so convinced of the rapture and everything that's happening in the world, the confirmation of prophecies left and right, that I tell God all the time, God, if you came right now, I would be so happy. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to get out of this place. This is a counterfeit world to what God created in the first place. And if you love this world more than you are hoping to be raptured and be in heaven with God, you're in trouble. We're supposed to be saying goodbye to this world now. And not in a stupid way. We don't, you know, we grew up there were certain times in the body of Christ that people got carried away. They had tribulation food. Some of them went up to the mountains. They were pulling away from the world because, no, you're in the world, but you're not of this world. There's a difference. God wants you to live, and he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to increase and multiply. Amen? Amen. Praise God. If you amen me, I'll do better preaching. So, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You better ask yourself. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. So, plug into your true power source. The Bible is your power source. Amen. 1% word, 1% power. 10% word, 10% power. 100% word, 100% power. God is not stingy. He is not greedy. He is not partial. What he has given Bill and I, or any other minister, you have equally. You'll see in a minute. There are no superstars in the kingdom of God. There's just real believers. Real believers. Say this with me. Am I a real believer? That's something that we need to answer. Amen. Are you okay? Are you being raptured? Because I'm going with you. You got up and I'm like, oh, it's happening. But when you plug yourself into the Bible, that cord that's going to be attached to you, that's faith. You will release the faith from the word when you are in it. I love listening to the word. Pastor will tell you, oh my gosh, especially the word on my phone. Let it go into your spirit. Let it go into your spirit. God's spiritual system. You're not going to get close to God. You're not going to accomplish anything for God. You're not going to get to do some of the works that he's called us to do, like praying for the sick, laying hands on people, and so on, if you don't believe that this is what God has set up. We followed this. We didn't even know about this. We got in the Word, and it happened for us very naturally. It wasn't working it up. Oh, come on, Lord. You've called us into the ministry. Please help us. No. We were in the Word. How many of you know that your Bible can't hurt you? It's not going to, if you open it up, it's not going to attack you. It's not going to release spirits and ghosts. It's not going to hurt you. The Word of God is there, full of power, ready to be released. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So God and his word is our power source. Billy and I don't get any other strength or power from any other source than his word. We are puristically built and made out of the word. There's nothing else. I let go of Catholicism. He let go of being a Lutheran. And we started learning a whole new system. And that is why we've done what we've done, people. It's because we believed. And then me, you're the little plug. You got to be plugged in to the power source, which is? God's word. God and his word. And then, again, the cord, the channel for faith to be released into my life. So God's word guarantees the outcome. Okay, that was a good place for you to jump up and down and scream and run around and howl. God's word guarantees the outcome.
Amen.
It will never, ever fail.
Amen.
Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be, this is God speaking, that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, which means empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. If you are fighting symptoms in your body, You stand on your scriptures. Very shortly, people, you're going to have the healing pamphlet that I've put together. It's ridiculously awesome. Full of scriptures, full of revelation. I don't know. And we've had people healed of cancer, COVID, all kinds of things just by reading the pamphlet. But if you stand on your scriptures that God spoke out of his mouth, you know, it's holy. When you stand on the scriptures, that's holy ground. Amen? And it will come to pass. So that, look at you. You I wish I could take a picture and show it to you. You're like, not so much. People, I'm telling you. That this is what faith does. Is my faith such that it is connecting me to God at all times? Am I truly living a life of faith? If you have to go look for God, if you have to apologize to him first when there's an emergency, God, forgive me. I know I've been terrible, and I know I've been sinning, and I know my thoughts are out of control, and I know I've been really angry, but Lord, can you please move on my family or move for this loved one? Please, if you have to go look for God, you're not there yet. God's right there. Amen. As you're sitting there in your chair, God is right there. If you are born again and Jesus is your Lord, he is right here. I don't have to go look for God. He's not lost. That's how we act. I got to go find God in this. How? God's not lost. You want to find God? Open the Bible. Amen? Amen. I have learned, like I told you guys, and you know, think of it what you will, but I have learned how to walk in both arenas very, very naturally. I'll be sitting there watching a Korean drama and God will speak to me. I'll be driving in my car and God will speak to me. I've seen the Lord 6 times. Not that I went looking for it. Not that I even wanted it. He has shown up because I trust God. I trust his word so I can go in and out very naturally. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is upon you. God's realm is here. You are already a citizen of heaven. You don't have to get perfect. Oh my God, if God had to depend on any of us getting perfect, none of us would be born again. He took you as you were. He loves you as you are. But he's trying to help you to become what he's called you to be. But God will never reject you. Never. Not ever. Not ever. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and tell you you're too far gone. You've done too much. God cannot forgive you. That is a lie. You know what? That if you believe that, you're spitting on the cross. Jesus died for you. That was very real. It already happened. You are washed brand new in the blood of the Lamb. But I mess up and I take detours. Join the club. That's called mankind. But what we do... So it's what do we do when we mess up? Ruth? Repent. You go to God and you say, Father, I messed up right here. See, God's not going to hold your sin against you. He can't. Because Jesus already paid for it. So you receive your forgiveness and you say, Lord, help me. I don't want to keep going back there. You know, some of us are repeat offenders. I know I was. There were some things, it was like gum to my shoe. Oh, you're back again. You know, and some of our sins are special ones. We like them. Oh, my goodness. Building true faith. The only way real faith comes to mankind is through the Bible. You're not going to get it any other way. And if you really, really want to become a powerful, strong believer, get in the Word. Get in the Word. So then faith comes. God's not holding back faith from you. So then faith comes by hearing. That means through your ear, something you've heard, and something that was preached. And again, I will add this clause to the preached part. Some of you are so cute. You're like, oh my God, I heard this from this minister. And oh my God, it was so powerful. And I'll go and check it against the word. And it's like, this is so wrong. Make sure it's the word being preached to you. You know, some ministers have their little pet doctrines. You got to be careful of that. You know, pastor has raised us up knowing exactly what the word is saying because he looks up the Greek and the Hebrew. He breaks it down for us so we know that this is exactly what God is saying. There's no misunderstanding. Amen? Carnal Christianity. When the world... This is a carnal Christian. Please know that this is true. When the world and our senses still govern our lives, I'm telling you, remove your foot out of the world. Do business here. Love, enjoy, work, do whatever you need to do in the natural realm. But start living in the kingdom of God. God will show you how to do that. Like right now, I am absolutely convinced that angels are standing guard all around here right now, protecting us, making sure you're staying awake. Some of you, they're nudging you. And some of you, they brought in like this. They brought you into church this morning. But it's very spiritual and very real. So real. Oh my gosh, Pastor and I, the talks that we have, you know, if something major happened in our country, in our nation, anything from World War III to a major earthquake, whatever, anything can happen, people. Because this is the dark hour, the devil's hour. And you know what we've told ourselves? If anything major happens, instead of running around and screaming and trying to stop things because at the last minute, we're just going to hold each other. We're going to hold each other and praise God. Amen. Either he will want to keep us here still or he'll take us with him. You're not going to outrun leaving this planet, people. You're not going to be able to do that. It is appointed unto each man once to die. We will all leave this planet. The question is, how are you going to leave it? Are you leave it with your hand in God's hand as he escorts you out? So if you're letting the world tell you what's truth, be careful. And if you're letting your senses tell you what's true, be careful. Let me explain. Since the fall, this world went upside down. What we're living right now is a counterfeit reality. God did not mean for sickness and disease and calamity and destruction and sin to control us. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They fellowshiped all the time. So what we are living right now is upside down. Don't let it be your truth. Find the truth from God. Let God tell you what is truth. Amen? Satan became the god of this world. He is the god of this world that we're trusting more than God. Satan is the god of this world that we are trusting more than God. Well, I don't feel like I'm saved. I'm so miserable and I'm really bad and nobody knows who I really am. You're trusting the world to tell you who you are instead of God. You are his child. And he will give heaven and earth, and he did for you. Amen. So if you're trusting the world to tell you this is what's good, this is what is success, this is what is a real marriage, oh my God, marriage is mutating into this weird thing. Wait till the next relationship seminar. I'm going to bring you some quotes of people and what they're saying. There's a whole lot of not very good things happening in marriage. The fall effect. This is what happened when man fell. From life, we went to death. From glory, we went into disgrace. So much disgrace. Sin brings disgrace. It brings shame and guilt. And there was so much disgrace in Adam and Eve that they were hiding from God. They were hiding from God. And that's what happens when we fall, when we miss the mark. That's what God calls sin. You missed the mark. Isn't that beautiful? Instead of "you foul thing," he just says, "you missed the mark. Get back. Get back. Keep going towards the mark." Yes. Amen? Amen? That's all sin is to God. It's very, very simple. Very simple. But look at the difference, people. And this one over here, I want you to please accept the fact that that's how we looked before Jesus. Our minds were shattered. Our minds were destroyed. Our minds went dark. We were confused. We were rebellious. We were angry. We were hurt. We were traumatized. That is the consequence of the fall right there. So Satan's system, Satan's kingdom is run completely by fear. Fear is satanic faith. Fear is satanic faith. When you have fear, you are operating in satanic faith. And that's a fact. You can ask any minister and they'll agree with that. Fear is satanic faith. This satanic faith allows Satan into our lives. He brings death, destruction, and thievery. Why would we, knowing, let me see if you've learned anything, which I know you have. Where do we find that scripture that says, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy? Reuben, John 10:10. John 10:10. If the word is telling us that Satan only comes, he doesn't come with food baskets. He doesn't come with $1 million to bless you with. He comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And if we know that, if we're going to believe Jesus himself said that, the thief, John 10:10, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But if we know that Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy, and the only way he can get into your life is if you are afraid, why are we being afraid? What is there to fear? Let me ask you right now, people, what is there to fear? What if I get sick? God will heal you. What if the economy collapses? We've got covenant with God. Amen. What if my mate doesn't love me anymore? Use your faith. My husband loves me. My husband swoons for me. He's really precious. He's a really precious guy. I had lost track of this nice guy. Ese guy. So, now, the next thing that he tells you is that the senses are the truth. He convinced us that our senses are the truth. If you can't see it, it's not real. And how convenient is that, since God is a spirit? We can't see God. You can all over the place. But not like he's not going to stand right here. God's not going to stand right here and let you see him. Half of us would fall dead because of the power that comes out of him. But that's what he tells you. If you can't see it, you can't believe it. Oh my God, we're down to $5 in our bank account. Father God, you said that you would prosper us. You said that you delight in the prosperity of your servants. Father, I'm asking you to change this. Father, I'm asking you that my covenant get enforced right now. We need to be able to survive and to prosper. He delights in the prosperity of his people. Amen. Amen? But the devil will tell you, ooh, look at you. Ooh, You're never going to lose weight. No, look at you. You're eating 100 cakes a day. And he will point out the obvious because he's got our senses. I don't feel good, so I must be bad. I don't feel God, so he must be gone. I don't feel like I belong in my family. He will get you looking at your senses, absolutely at your senses, what you hear, what you see. If we pray for you, and you, let's say you had a horrible rash, and we pray for you, and you go home and you go, something went wrong because it's still there. That's your senses. Faith calls those things that are not as though they were. That's what faith does. We were supposed to be living, commanding things, people, not things commanding us. Things have us running. We're afraid. We're so afraid of everything. The economy, our politics, ministers, everything's scaring us these days because we're operating by our senses, not by the faith in our heart. You know what the faith in your heart does? It changes all of that. It will change all of that. Amen? Man is programmed and locked into his senses because Satan can manipulate our senses. He will lie to you. He will say, oh, you'll get up to go wash your face and get ready for the day, and he'll say, oh, you look green. Your liver's dying. He'll tell you, did you hear how your husband just talked to you? He can't stand you. Why are you still with him? Satan will make you see things that are not there. I know of a minister that spent all night trying to cast out the devil in his hotel room. All night long, he kept seeing this black shadow, and he was so afraid that all he could do was stay in his bed. He was there to preach, and all he could do was stay in his bed and pray in tongues and command the devil to leave, and the devil never left. And he's like, Lord, I'm not going to give up. I bind you, you foul devil. And this thing would move, and he would see the glaring eyes and so on. As it got closer to daylight, guess what happened? He was petrified, people. He said, I was so afraid because this thing was not budging. And if it won't budge in the name of Jesus, then I'm really, I was going to say something else. Anyway, I'm really in trouble. When the light started to come through the room, guess what? It was his raincoat that he had hung up. It was over the air conditioning unit. And when the unit would move, it would sway the coat. And he thought it was the demon making fun of him. The eyes that he was seeing were buttons on the lapel. Satan will make you see anything that he wants you to see. He can convince you of anything unless you know the truth. Once you know the truth, you will be set free. And then to be successful, you must be rich. He has convinced all of humanity to be successful, you must be rich. Have status, have power, have position and influence. Then you'll get respect and honor. So you must work hard all the days of your life, pay your dues, do whatever it takes so that one day you can retire in great comfort and security. Proverbs 21:26, the unrighteous, he covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare.
Amen.
Amen. People, you have covenant with God. And that covenant includes your financial prosperity. He wants to see you increase and to flourish. He's not trying to keep it away from you. But instead, we give up our lives in the pursuit of it. Oh my gosh, when you get off that merry-go-round, you see the world in a whole other way. First of all, the Word of God is so full of this, people. I mean, on your way home, Something could happen. You could end up having to leave this earth. And there goes your little accounts and your little... The Bible talks and cautions us that to have that, somebody else is going to inherit what you worked so hard to get. Why not just trust God? Bring God into your finances, amen? We're very selective, by the way. We only bring God into our bodies because we need to be healed. But God's not going to touch my money or, no, I got to go and make this happen. Ask God to help you make it so you don't give up your life force trying to make a living. That's not what you're here for. I want you to remember this movie, please. And I'm going to challenge you to watch it. If you have teenage children, I want you to see it with them. It's called The Lottery of Birth. The Lottery of Birth. It's on Netflix or maybe even Hulu now because it's been out for a while. And it's going to open up your eyes in a way that you are going to be shocked about this world system and how it operates. It's really incredible. And then, you have to look out for number one, for you. If you don't speak up for yourself, who will? Who really takes your side? Who's completely loyal to you? Only you. You can't trust anyone but yourself. You've all you've got, and only you have the best interest in mind. He will talk to you and convince you that nobody cares. Not really. So you gotta make it happen for yourself. You gotta speak up for yourself. God is completely the opposite. He says, give me your problems, give me your marriages, give me everything, and I will reverse it. I will heal it. You know, unfortunately, you have pastors who are very transparent, and we've had issues in every area of our lives. Raising the kids not wanting to be raised, bring them to church, the kids not wanting to be in church, the marriage. I would look at Bill, and he would look like a stranger. He was like that for about 15 years to me. I don't know you. You've changed. I've changed. What is going on? This is not what I married. Where's the love? How come when I kiss you, I don't swoon? So he will convince you that unless you're fighting for yourself, you're going to be, you're going to lack. You're not going to have a good life. And then you have rights. You have freedoms. You know, in this thing about looking out for number one, Jesus said, no greater love has any man than to give up his life for his brother. You know, I have never regretted having my husband in my life. I have never regretted my children, even though they probably regretted me being their mom. Because we brought them up in the Word. And now you should see them. They are preaching online. They are so awesome. They are walking with God. There's no delusion in them whatsoever because they grew up in a church that taught them the truth. So hang on to your kids. You know how I saw my kids? Like kites in the air. Just going back and forth and back and forth. Just hang on to them no matter what happens. And they will come in for a landing. God, if you're faithful to your children and to God, God will make sure that your children come back. I promise you.
Amen.
Because guess what? Satan is really working double time on this generation. You know what my son? And my son ended up preaching to me about an hour and a half, not too long ago. And I told him, Bill, Brian, we opened up the church. And, you know, it's looking really good. Like, we can continue as a church. And you know what he said? He said, Mom, please, please teach the children. Please teach the youth. He said, the devil is working double and triple time on the youth, Mom. Because technology is the new God. They are consumed in their phones. They are consumed with TikTok. They are consumed online. And that, I saw a minister and then also a psychologist say the same thing. That technology is robbing our kids from us. It's becoming their teacher. It's becoming their reference of what's true. So we have to work double time for our kids. If you love your children, stay the course. My mom used to say this, and this is why you see all my sisters in church. My mom used to say, first God and then everything else. First God, primero Dios. And she raised us that way. God is first. We're going to church. Man, we would go to there was a canal. And we would look like little ducks following my mom because it was a single, you could only walk one at a time. And we'd follow her behind her going to church every Sunday. And it was a walk. But God was first. And I love her for it. She handed the baton of faith down to us. It didn't fall on the ground. We are raising our children to know God, to walk with God. Don't ever give up. And we have to help our children. Because right now, God, who they cannot see, is competing with this incredible technology. And you know what my son said? This is what he told me. He said, Mom, please. Oh my God, he was begging me. He said, Mom, I've been doing so much research. He goes, please teach the children, the youth, Mom. He said, because they are being set up for the Antichrist, for the mark of the beast. The beast is going to be a computer, AI. And you're not going to be able to get food or anything without the mark. That's why we're trying to help you to walk by faith now. Now! Amen. Our cupboards should not be empty. There was a little Chinese woman. Oh my gosh, this minister. He gave the story. It was him. He was there. People were bringing in their tithes. He was in China teaching. It was back in the 80s. And he was teaching the children. I mean, he was teaching a message. And at the end, the way they did it in that church is they would put a basket and the people would come by and leave their little money and then walk on through. Some churches actually do that. And they do it for the purpose of putting a spotlight on you. Hey, Imelda, why didn't you get up and give your tithe? That's what they, it's crazy. It's, your tithe is between you and God, amen? Yeah. At the end of the day, if you want your church open, then you're going to be tithing, amen? And so anyway, all these people came by, they were leaving money and all this stuff, right? Some were leaving jewelry and so on. This little old lady came by and had half a bowl of uncooked rice, a little tiny bowl of uncooked rice. And she put it in the thing and he goes, excuse me. He goes, ask her, the interpreter, why is she bringing that? And then the guy asked her and she got all excited and she said, oh, she said, that's what I had left in my cupboard and I brought what I had. And so I want to tithe that to the minister. And the minister was overcome with compassion for her. That he said, you know what? He laid hands on the bowl and he said, in the name of Jesus, you will never run out of food in your house. People, she went home. There was a bowl similar to the one she had tithed to the minister. And it was full. And she thought, I didn't have that. I just gave the last of my rice. She goes, but maybe I didn't see it. And so she cooked it, ended up with meals for that day. The next day, the bowl was filled again. The next day, the bowl was filled again. And they ended up filming this. And they saw people, they saw the rice coming into the bowl. And they filmed it. God was supernaturally feeding this little widow. Amen. 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 The next one is, you have rights. You have freedoms. You have choices, and this is your life. This is the biggest problem God has. You have rights, you have freedoms, you have choices, and this is your life. You can do what you want. I can do what I want. You're not the boss of me. You can do what you want. No one has the right to tell you what to do. That's manipulation. Somebody's trying to control you. If your pastors are telling you that, you know, you should be in church, that's manipulation. If I want to go surfing on that Sunday, nobody should tell me no. This is my life. You have free agency, which means you don't want any commitments that restrict your actions. No, I'm not going to church. My action is to go and have fun at Starbucks and then go shopping all Sunday. Because I have free agency and no one's going to tell me what to do. Do you think God wants a bunch of rebellious kids in heaven? No! We're called into the beautiful square that Pastor described. People, the things that are awaiting us. I am not going to miss any of it. And we're called to the square. Can you imagine? No! I'm a free agent. I can do what I want. How long are you going to last up there? Before Gabriel and Michael get a hold of you and kick you out of heaven? We don't need that garbage. So you have free agency, which means you don't want any commitments that restrict your actions. What can restrict us? God. God is so restricting, man. We've heard people say that to our face. I don't want to follow God. He's always telling us what to do. I can't have an adulterous relationship. I'm not even supposed to lie. He's kind of encroaching in me. And that's how we look at it. And God so lovingly says, I only gave you those commandments to keep you alive. What is the wages of sin?
Death.
You stay with sin long enough and it's going to produce death in any way it can. It could be in your mental health. It could be in your body. It could be you're aging faster. It could be you get sick. All kinds of things. God's just trying to protect us. That's all he's doing. He's not robbing you of your freedom and your liberty. When I was growing up, there was a beautiful young lady. Oh my God, we were living in Texas. And we lived in this little apartment complex. It was a really interesting place. There was 2 rooms per apartment and there was like 7 of us. And we lived in that little place and next door was not like 2 doors down. There was a beautiful young lady and her name was Judith. Gorgeous Mexican, very light skin, very black hair. It was short. She was very edgy for that day. And, you know, she would wear, you know, a lot of bracelets and earrings and stuff. And, you know, but I thought she was beautiful. I'm like, oh, there's Judith. And I was a little tiny kid. And the mom would always say, she would go, it was just her and her mom. And the mom was a widow. And she would say, please, Judith, stay in today. Please, Judith. She was 14. Judith was 14. And she would say, please don't go out today. Please don't go out. And one time I actually saw her and she got in a car. She was the only girl in a car full of guys. And they didn't look very good. Even then I knew, oh, they look pretty rowdy. It wasn't long. It was maybe 2 months later. You know, I mean, this went on for many years with her and her mom, but about 2 months later, she disappeared. They couldn't find her. About 3 years later, they found her little skeletal remains near the airport out in the desert area. It was like miles and miles and nothing but desert. She didn't hear. She didn't listen to caution, and it cost her life. That's all God's trying to do, is get you to stay away from those things that are going to destroy you. He's not trying to quench your fun. We are so upside down, people. The fun that God has for us is it's so rich. It's so beautiful. Bill and I live a very simple life. But I keep telling you that in simplicity is true elegance. You don't need a lot. You don't need everything to be perfect for us to have a good life, for us to have a good time. When God moves into your house, everything is beautiful. You flourish in your house. So God, Christianity, oh my God, they make you go to church.
if I could, I'd go to your house, get you dressed, brush your teeth, and bring you to church. If I could. Because I know what church means. We don't need an audience. We fellowship all the time on the rule, on the word. This is for you, to help you. Christianity, marriage. Oh my God, the new wave of this generation. I don't know, is it Gen Z or Gen X or Gen QPT? Gen Z. Okay, so this new generation, they're not going to get married because they've seen the mess that we, their parents, have shown them. They're afraid of marriage. And it's like, why do I need a woman that's going to get on my case, that's going to be awful, and she's going to change on me, and she's going to be grumpy, and I'm just a dude, man. I just want to have a good life. And vice versa. Why would I have a man be my covering? What the heck? I don't need no man's covering. I'm a woman. Oh, my God. I once told a beautiful lady, she had kids, single mom, and I said, you should get married again. You're still young, and you're so beautiful. And you know what she said? She said, I'm white, I'm single, and I'm free. Why do I want a man telling me what to do? That's where we're headed now. They don't want to get married, and they don't want to have kids. Marriage. The noose. The noose. And then family. Oh, my God. Now, I was a bachelor, and I was traveling, having fun, enjoying life with my friends. And now I got to put little Johnny and little Mary and little Kimmy first. They're like little birds. Ah, feed me, feed me. Everything's becoming a restriction to us people because this is my life and I have freedoms. Only do what's best for you and what makes you happy. Be very careful of the pitfall of happiness. Because what makes you happy today can be your worst nightmare tomorrow. We change. We are so fickle. That man, ladies, that you pursued and he pursued you, and you thought, oh my God, this is the best I could ever have. How long did that last? Get the women. Happy. No. Go after spiritual forces. Joy. Be a joyful person. Amen. Be a joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It comes out of your spirit, people. It's a spiritual force. It makes you strong. It makes you fun. Fun. Some of you are so ancient. Oh my gosh, you're like Methuselah. You walk through life. Don't worry, I'll get there. Keep going. What is going on with us? You know, some fun thing comes up. Just go. No. Besides, true freedom means you're calling all the shots. If you're calling all the shots in your life, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. We should be asking God, God, is this the right direction? Amen. God, should I go in this direction? Amen. Amen. If we had done that, people, before we got married, imagine how many nightmares we would have avoided if God would have said, it's a good opportunity, but you know what? There's something a little better for you, a little more like you. And then you wait and you wait and God will bring you the right one. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Why am I talking about this? It's because if you're not operating by faith, this is what you're doomed for. These things, these lies. Remember, everything is upside down. This is the last one. Truth is relative. Oh my God, especially in this hour. Truth is what people make it. You got these people that have no intelligence, have no reality about life, have no frame of reference whatsoever. And they're pitching their truths day and night. Truth is relative. Truth is what you make of it. Go and find your truth. That's what the devil will tell you. Come on, Monica, go find your truth. You know, how do you know that what they're telling you is truth? Go find yours. Make it your own. Truth is truth, people. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a little commercial, the only truth you're ever going to find that you can ever live is going to be found in the Word. Amen. Only the Word of God is truth. Amen. Otherwise, you have a bunch of philosophers, a bunch of men, a bunch of women that have put themselves in a position to say, this is what's true. So, go and find your truth. Keep in mind that Satan has already manipulated, perverted, and twisted our mind, our will, our emotions, and our sense since infancy, and our senses since infancy. And with these now corrupted faculties of your being, he pushes you to create your very own idea of truth. Imagine that. You've got this darkness, the devil's got your brain, he's got your emotions, he's got your will, he's got your perspectives, because you're living according to what you see out there in the world. And you're creating your own sense of truth. This is what's true. When you are young, you are strong and powerful. When you are old, you're not good for much, so step aside. I once talked to this man, and he had made a substantial, with very little going for him, he made a very awesome little tiny baby empire. and I asked him one day, why did you try so hard to build this, you know, and to accumulate, you know, because they had a little bit of wealth. And you know what they told me? They said, because when you get old, people despise you. But if you're old and you have money, they'll stay around. Now that was their truth. And they hung on to it. Because no, this gives me power. This money gives me power. Nothing gives a man more power than character. Than character. When you have integrity, you're a powerful man. For the first few years of my life, I ran into Bill. He's a wall. He's not going to budge. He's going to wait till I get tired of bumping into that wall, trying to change him, trying to push him. And no, I don't think so. And no, I don't want to. And he was just a wall. He didn't push me back. He didn't force himself on me. He absolutely kept, no, this is the way it is. Eva, this is from the Word. Eva, this is the way it's going to be. Until the day came when I got tired of bumping into that wall. And now the wall protects me. I'm protected by my husband because I am submitted to him. I trust him. I love him. But why? It's because he went and built character. When I met Bill, he was 21 going on 12. When he met me, I was 24 going on 4. I'm still 4 sometimes. Oh, my God, I've been working on my weight. And, oh, my God, this 4-year-old won't let me go. And you know what I keep telling myself? Eva, you're not 4 anymore. You're not 4 anymore. You're not 4 anymore. But, yeah, that little kid, Bill had to hang on to her. No, I want to go over here. I want to do this. I want to do that. And we hung on to each other. I helped him, and he helped me. Amen? So, this is so contrary to the Word of God. Did you know about being young and now you're old and nobody wants to hear from you? That is a lie from the pit of hell. God had to wait in the Word of God for men to reach a certain age so that he can call them into the ministry, so that he could prosper them, so he could trust them, because with age, hopefully, comes character. And men and women, as we age, I'm going to tell you something. They would have to drag me off kicking and screaming if somebody says, you're too old, you got to sit down now, Eva. Oh my God, I'll go to the corner and start preaching there if I have to. Because you know what happens, people, as we age? We have more wisdom. We have more character. And we have more to offer. So God waits. Our youth can be a big detriment sometimes because we have a long way to go. Did you know your brain doesn't even fully develop until you're about 23, 24, 25? You're missing. When you're younger than that, in the frontal cortex, you are missing the area that has common sense. That's why young people end up hurting themselves, having accidents and all this kind of stuff. Amen? Gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on. At all times, you must give the image you want people to believe. This is a big one, people. You know, as pastors, we get to see the backside of some people's lives. You know, I've known very, 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 very wealthy people. I was doing a Bible study where, oh my God, one guy had just sold a business for $35 million and he had seven businesses in Hollywood. And they projected the most powerful image. He's from Hollywood and he's a director of all these companies. And look at her. She was on television. One of the beautiful women that, I forget her name anyway, but anyway, she was on television. She was beautiful. She still is. I just saw them like yesterday. And the image was, oh, like when they walked in, oh, there's them. I won't tell you their name. There's them. They're very wealthy. That's what I was told. They're very wealthy, very powerful people. Yeah, until we got a call about a year later because the man was going insane. We had to go see him at Cedars-Sinai at the hospital. He wanted to take his life. And he had been struggling with his mind for almost all his life. But the image that was given is that everything is perfect. I married a model woman. She's this tall, beautiful blonde. I'm this awesome, powerful, you know, man in Hollywood that owns all these businesses. We have homes everywhere. They bought something like a $5 million home in Mexico for vacations that they hardly ever used. But everything was perfect. The devil will tell you, forget the truth, just give the image. Give an image. It's none of their business if it's true or not. Just lie your way through life and project the image you created. It's so interesting. We'll leave that one alone. And then money is the ultimate power. Without it, you're nothing. The man that has God is the richest man in all of eternity. In all of eternity, people. The word is so replete with scriptures, people, against the falsehood of money. Money is good. I'm believing God for the lottery so we can get a church. Money is not bad. What is bad?
The love of money.
I don't love money. If it's taking all your time and all your preoccupation and you're always tired that you can't invest it all in your family, you love money. You love money. We're to love people, not money. Wow. After the cross, this is the reality after the cross. This was the fall effect. After the cross, from death to absolute life, from disgrace to honor and glory. Oh, God. So I saw a man put together a clip of what happens when we pray in the Spirit. And I don't know how they filmed it, to be honest with you. I really don't. But they were able to capture these flames of fire coming out of people as they were praying in the Spirit. This is how you look in the Spirit. Full of life, full of God, full of His glory. This is how you look to Him. But we allow this little earthen suit to quench all of that because of how we think. Oh, God, I have a lot to do. Hurry up, Pastor. I have finished preaching. I got to go home and I got to do the laundry and I got to get ready for work. And instead of basking in the word and just relaxing for a moment in the presence of God. But look at this. This is how God sees us. This is how you look. God showed me one day what Bill and I looked like to him. And people, it's the truth. Again, I'm telling you, don't ever go looking for visions. Don't ever go looking for a word from God like, oh, I want to prophesy to people and tell them. And don't ever do that. Just make yourself available to God and he will use you. He wants to use you. But, oh my God, what was I saying? Oh, thank you, Lisa. Oh, thank God. You can never not be here. You'll help me find my way. But he showed me how Bill and I looked. And man, I looked over at Bill because we were at church. And I looked over at Bill and I'm like, oh my God. You know, because he looked tired. We were pushing. And this man carries two full careers. Full careers, people. And, you know, he was... And then I looked at myself and I'm like, what God showed me was Bill and I were walking up to the throne of God. The throne of God was full of his glory. It was incredible. I knew it was God. And this was a spiritual vision, if you want to take it that way. But Bill and I were walking together up to the Lord. We were there to receive orders. And we were dressed like warriors, both of us. And we did not look like we do here. We looked freaking awesome. Awesome. And Bill had arms like this wide. But it was spiritual strength. It wasn't physical. And I must say, I look pretty good too. I have to say that. And we actually had on kind of like an interesting head thing on, and we had swords, and we were walking up to God very reverently and very submitted. And he said, this is how you look to me. How do you know how you look? Because you're letting your senses tell you. Look at you. You're getting old. Nobody cares. Look at you. You're a sinner. You know you feel bad all the time. Look at you. Look at you. Look at you. Faith believes this. Carlos Rojo, this is God telling you that this is how you look. There is an anointing on your life, and it's not going to go away. And part of the conflict you experience every day is you shutting that down, shutting that down. You have a love for the word, Carlos, and you're accurate. And you've given words in church that were very accurate. This is how we look to God, all of us. Amen. We are a light. We are on fire. Amen? Amen? So we cannot. Look at, from death to absolute life, from disgrace to honor and glory. No more disgrace. Step out of that dumb shell and stop being disgraced. You are honored and you are loved. And God has paid a very dear price to get you ready for him. Oh, people, you don't want to miss God. He's got so much that is so beautiful and so powerful. I've often seen men or women or kids that don't believe in God. It's not very intelligent at all. Not at all. I'm married to a genius. This guy's incredible. He devours books this thick on physics, like nothing. He's always reading. And he loves God. Now, more and more scientists, more and more psychologists, more and more doctors are proving the reality of God. God is real. And you know what God says? If you ever question if there is a God, just look at nature. Look at the creation that he did. Did you know, people, that every leaf, every grain of sand, every beautiful tree came out of the mouth of God? It came out of the mouth of God. You only live because God breathed the Spirit into you. Amen? Okay, I think we're going to stop. Let's go ahead and stand up.